Please join me in a prayer for understanding. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. By your Spirit, make yourself known to us through the reading and preaching of your word, that we might be faithful witnesses in this life and joyful companions in the next, even with Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Today's Hebrew scripture reading is Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. This ends the reading.
For those of you that might be here the first time, you might have picked up the fact that we run a little loose around here. We're pretty flexible. We adjust on the run. But our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, selected verses beginning at verse 1 of chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Hear then the parable of the sower. This is kind of like Matthew's interpretation of what Jesus said. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. And this is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, and another 60, and in another 30. This ends the reading. The word of God for the people of God. Not too long ago, I saw a bumper sticker on a truck that read, "Life's a bitch and then you die." Now, that's not the first time I've seen that bumper sticker. It didn't look like the one in this picture, but it was close enough. I thought to myself, well, I'm not inviting this guy to any parties or potlucks at Ark and Dove. What a nihilist, you know? From this perspective, not only is life filled with hard and rocky ground, abundant weeds and thorns, but when you die, there's nothing next. Actually, maybe we should invite him, huh? This truck that he was driving was tripped out with all kinds of chrome and super cool arch tires, definitely the pricey model. With such a negative outlook on life, Maybe expensive toys were needed to boost his morale. I much prefer the bumper sticker I used in a sermon about 5 years ago, which said, "Visualize world peace." The first picture maybe puzzles you with peas whirling about, but the second bumper sticker with a peace sign and a globe makes it become a prayer for peace on earth. World peace. So what's with the sower of the seeds? Does he know what he's doing? Don't you know how to sow seeds in a garden? Is this a planting of peas or lentils, or are we going deeper? Do we got something else to think about? I mean, why is she casting seed on rocky ground? Can't they see that the path is trampled down, and if you throw the seeds on the path, they're not going to come up or they're going to get squished? This sower is throwing seeds everywhere, anywhere and everywhere. Perhaps any first century listeners who heard this parable thought to themselves, "Oh, how wasteful is this sower?" The common folk were poor. Most of them grew their own food. They didn't waste seed. Maybe they shook their heads. Or could it be that this parable is about abundance? Could it be that the sower will throw seed anywhere with the hope that it takes root? Could it be that this sower is not a lousy farmer, but maybe even God, who throws seed around with reckless abandon, unchecked generosity, and undisciplined abundance? So suggests the Reverend Alan Bozak of Cape Town, South Africa. Is not God in the business of sowing seeds of peace and hope? Maybe Jesus was inspired by Psalm 126 as he concocted this parable for the people. Verses 5 and 6 in the psalm go like this: "May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying the sheaves." Now, there is some truth in the bumper sticker. Life is hard. Life is hard because human beings, by nature, can be self-centered, short-sighted, and cantankerous. I've been all of those things. Life is hard because some world citizens are extremely focused on acquisition and control. They believe that the kid with the most toys wins, and that the oligarch with the most money has the right to craft the rules so that they work to make them wealthier and more powerful. This is the state of our world right now. It's most unfortunate that the United States has joined the crowd. Isn't that the whole mindset behind Citizens United, the Supreme Court ruling of 2010? Use your corporate money to buy politicians, and therefore the more money you have, the more control you gain, and the more money you make. It's a great little cycle. A cynical sick cycle of sidelining the ordinary citizen and nullifying their vote. We know that this is happening in our country, and it weighs on us. In this world, with all its imbalances, its callousness, its challenges and hardships, we are called by God to sow seeds of hope. God calls us through Jesus to be agents of transformation. God created us with the possibilities and gifts within. God endowed us with the capacity to triumph over our own cynicisms and timidities, that we might bend the world just a little bit toward the goodness that God intends for all humanity. As the Reverend Dr. King said, "The arc of the universe is long, but it bends toward justice." These days, if we consume too much media, we find ourselves overwhelmed because the headlines are crushingly filled with bad news. But for every act of evil, There are dozens of acts of goodness in our world that go unnoticed. It's only because the tragic deeds are less common that they are news at all. I'm paraphrasing the words of Reverend Desmond Tutu from one of his books. It is only because we believe that people are good that we despair when they are not. In 1984, it might have been 1983, Desmond Tutu came to our seminary in New York City and preached in the chapel in the afternoon, which was when we had worship service in seminary. And I'll never forget him standing up there in the pulpit and saying, "God is not neutral when an elephant sits on the tail of a mouse." Think about that. I am by nature an impatient person. My family will attest to this. My daughter just shook her head yes. But it is also true that many of the seeds that we plant in the now will not germinate for many years. And some seeds sprout into plants that are small for a long time. Some trees in the forest, for instance, might grow to only be 6 or 8 feet tall, and they might be as many as 30, 40, or 50 years old, but stunted. You see, they might live under a mighty oak with a lot of leaves, who blocks the sun and the rain and everything else. But when the oak dies, and or a hurricane comes by, and the light filters through, science has proven that that tree will race to the sky, and in a few years, maybe be 40, 50 years tall, feet tall. We often don't get to see the trees that come from our planting. But that doesn't mean we have sown in vain. Even the smallest act of kindness creates a bloom, a biome of goodwill and God's will, and that infects the world with a measure of hope. Every little kindness. Okay, we have looked at this parable so far from the perspective of being sowers, people who plant seeds. Well, let's change our angle of vision and talk about the soil, the fertile ground with which Jesus closes his parable. I may have mentioned, I can't quite remember, once or twice, that we have a passion for gardening over at our house. Have I ever brought that up? I have a personal motto. Starts in early spring, and I try to say it to myself every day until the end of autumn. Plant something every day. Now, it doesn't always work out that way, because life is as it is, but I tried to. I tried to do something. Yesterday, I planted 12 rows of garlic. Because you got to plant garlic in October. And when it comes to successful gardening, I want you to know this. It all comes down to compost. We've got about 9 compost piles in our yard. That's not our yard, but it's piles of compost. And you know, you really don't have to do much to make compost. If you just take a pile of leaves or a pile of, you know, plant debris and throw it in a pile, in 6 months you're going to have compost. But if you want to speed the process along, you can mix your brown leaves with your green kitchen scraps, and that thing will start cooking. And sometimes compost piles get as hot as 185, 200 degrees. And you know what that means? It kills the weed seed. Nature breaks it down. If you want to make it go faster, you can get a pitchfork in there and turn it over a couple of times. The great thing about compost is it has a whole bunch of minerals and nutrients in it that you're not going to get in a bag of fertilizer. All kinds of good stuff for your plants. Jesus said in his parable that yields in fertile soil return crops of 30, 60, or 100 times more seed than you planted. You have an opportunity to plant some seeds of your own this week at the Winter Relief Homeless Shelter here at Ark and Doe. You won't see any trees in a short time, but you will catch a smile, and you might find your heart changed as well. go ahead and risk it and have a conversation with one of the people that stays with them. You see, it all comes down to compost. Compost not only feeds plants, but it fights disease and creates positive soil conditions, which allow hundreds and hundreds of tiny and even microscopic critters to feed the roots of your flowers and your vegetables and your fruit. There's a lot more in soil than just dirt. And when it comes to faith, you see, it all comes down to compost. The suffering we endure, the anxieties we experience, the pain of the broken things in our lives, all the wrong turns, all the mistakes we make as disciples, as parents, as children, as siblings in Christ, as co-workers, colleagues, and friends. If we pay attention to the adversity we experience, it all becomes nutrient-dense compost. If we read devotions or some books on prayer, if we pray daily, and when we attend worship, it all becomes compost. The purpose of prayer and worship is to make compost. And you know, I'm telling you, walk in the labyrinth, you can make some good compost. And thank you for that dedication. That's amazing. Caught me by surprise, you guys. If we make room for silence and breath, if we engage in acts of mission, mercy, and justice, if we treat people like the children of God that they are, it all becomes compost for the soil soul of our gardens. God will compost our mishaps and our miracles into healthy soil, a biome of soil, soul soil, a biome of hope and peace. Life's not a bitch, it's a garden. Archbishop Oscar Romero, how many of you have ever heard of him? Well, he's not alive anymore because he was gunned down in El Salvador while he was presiding over communion at the front of, I believe it was the bishop's seat. What do you call it? Huh? Cathedral, thank you, Stephen. Went right out of my head. Romero was a tireless champion of the poor with his ministry of love. And this being a champion of the poor threatened the oligarchs and the generals in El Salvador. And so with that in your background, I share this quote that I've had for years, I keep in my files, that Romero wrote and used in a sermon. I changed only two words. This is what we are about. We plant seeds that will one day grow. We water the seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that need further development. We provide compost that produces effects far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything. And there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and to do it very well. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master gardener and the worker. We are workers, not master gardeners, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future, not our own. End of quote. Arkandov is an amazing garden of hope and peace. There is so much goodness and grace in this soil. This place overflows with fecundity, capacity, and potential. The biome is alive and percolating. Each of you both sows seeds and builds the soil. I see sprouts. I see the spring flowers of hope and the autumn fruit of God's deep peace everywhere in this place. I see mighty oaks and cherry blossoms. Oh, we have our weeds and thorns. All churches do. But with our partner, the Holy Spirit, we compost them. We turn them into soil amendments and enrichments. We keep going. We keep planting. We are a place of peace for many who need a place to rest and rejuvenate and regather and reorganize. It has been a rich and abundant, fertile privilege to tend to this garden with you for 34 years. It's been amazing to be your partner. You are a botanical bonanza, a little bit of Eden, a habitat of hope. You baptized a baby this morning that will grow into a tree. You have enriched me in so many ways, and I am deeply grateful. But today, I release my role as sower, gardener, composter, and pastor. I will pray for you, and I will admire your fruits as I look in from the outside. And I close with the words of Jesus, who, by the way, burst forth from a tomb in a garden. But as for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, another 60, and another 30. Amen.